So we are refreshed.
Well, some of you probably noticed how what kind of hard work it is, yeah? Huh?
Yeah.
Mudita. Where is mudita coming from? Not the shirt. I mean, I'm talking about the real mudita. The joy with others. Huh? It's arising in the heart, not on the shirt. Compassion, yeah? Metta, yeah? It's all arising in the heart, yeah? Don't have to make it, yeah? Don't produce it, yeah? But we all, you know, we all making things up, yeah? This or that, yeah? So, practicing. Practicing meditation, yeah? Developing sati. And when we want to go, yeah? What do we actually, you know, when we want to go the path to Nibbana, what do we need to know? Yeah? We need to know anicca, anatta, dukkha. Yeah? Dukkha, I talked about dissatisfaction, dis-ease, huh? Restlessness, boredom, pain, suffering. It's all dukkha. Anicca, impermanence. Whatever arises has to cease, yeah? Including our body. The five khandhas arise and cease constantly, yeah? Each time in a different form. Anatta. Whatever we can perceive cannot be us. Yeah? Look at your neighbor, is it you? Huh? It's not you. Look at your arm, is it you? Who sees the arm? Who knows it's an arm? Who gives the label to the arm? Huh? The citta. Hmm? When we look at the five khandhas, this is one thing that we also have to know. The five khandhas. Rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vinyana. Rupa is body. Vedana is feeling. Sanya is memory association. Sankhara is thought formation. Yeah? And vinyana is consciousness. Yeah? And what is? Yeah? And then there is the citta. But the citta is not within the five khandhas. Everybody thinks that the citta is in the five khandhas. Is wrong. Why did the Lord Buddha call it citta and not, yeah? Not vinyana. Yeah? A lot of people confuse your vinyana with the citta. No. Vinyana comes and goes. It's a moment of consciousness. Something has come into contact with our senses. That's all. And then memory or association, you know, takes hold of it, you know, and labels it as feeling or thought or this or that. Yeah? That's all. Yeah? And the citta is the owner of the five khandhas. Yeah? This is something we have to know, we have to understand. The owner is not the five khandhas. The five khandhas are a toolbox, yeah? That we can use, yeah? For instance, we can use the body, you know, to sit down in meditation or do walking meditation, yeah? So the citta uses the body, you know, to sit, you know, or to walk, yeah? And then, you know, it gathers its strength, you know, and concentrates on the Buddha or on the breath, yeah? So, in the beginning, it concentrates on the feeling of the breath going in, breath going out. Or, you know, or it concentrates on the knowingness of the Buddha. Yeah? So the principle of anatta, you know, whatever we can perceive, whatever we can observe, cannot be me, mine, or myself. Huh? It's my feeling. No, it's not your feeling. Huh? It's a feeling arising and ceasing. Huh? It's a phenomena. Just like all of the five khandhas are phenomena. The body is arising and ceasing, or is born and dies. Huh? Feeling arises and ceases. You cannot change the feeling that has arisen. Try it. Tried it. Does it work? No. Doesn't work because it's a phenomena. Huh? Just like the clouds passing by. Sometimes it's a black cloud, sometimes it's a white cloud. We cannot change the white cloud or the black cloud into a white cloud, because it's not me, mine or myself. Yeah? But you can change the shirt if you don't like it. Yeah. That's all what you can. Yeah? You cannot change your body, even if you don't like it. You cannot make it younger, you cannot make it older, you know? Yeah? You have to wait, you know, until the phenomena, yeah, cease to exist. Yeah? That's what we call death. Yeah? Thoughts, the same thing. Who knows it's a thought? The principle of anatta is quite important, yeah? I mean, it frees us of a lot of things, yeah? There is a feeling. So, I'm not the feeling. I see there's a feeling arising and ceasing, yeah? Same with memory. There's a memory. Huh? How often, you know, how often do we ask? And now that you have practiced, you know, huh? You didn't invite the thoughts. You didn't invite the feelings coming in, yeah? You didn't invite, you know, the memories coming in. They just came by themselves, yeah? Because there's another owner, yeah, in the citta. There are two owners of the citta, yeah? One is kilesa, yeah, or avicca, and the other one is the dhamma, yeah? The light or the darkness, yeah? And both trying to sit on the throne. And only the one who sits on the throne can command the five khandhas, yeah? Can bring up memories, can bring up thoughts, can bring up, you know, feelings, or on and on, yeah? And then most of the time, you know, yeah, I mean, it's a witch who sits on the throne. And has us in full control, yeah? I want this, I want this, I don't like this, I don't like that, yeah? So the principle of anatta, whatever I can see, whatever I can perceive, cannot be me, because who is the one? Who is the subject, yeah? I mean, in our language, in duality, we need subject and object, yeah? Yeah? I use my eyes to look at the next person, and then I see, okay, yeah? I see another person, yeah? I see the feeling, yeah? Or I know the feeling. I know the thought, yeah? I know there's a thought. I know there's a memory. But the memory is not me, not mine, and not myself. Very important, yeah? That's how you can distance yourself, yeah, from these things. And that's, you know, that's how we can then later on investigate the things. Yeah? If you say, I feel bad, you know, the investigation is over, because you feel bad. But if you say there's a feeling that you know, feels bad, you know, then you can investigate. Yeah? How does it feel? Yeah? Where did it come from? What came before? Yeah? But if I say, I feel bad, you know, oops, over. Finished. Story written. Understand that, huh? Anicca, anatta, dukkha. These are the three principles to guide the whole universe, yeah? Three characteristics. Everything in this universe, yeah? Is anicca, anatta, dukkha, yeah? Follows the same principle. It arises and it ceases, you know? It's not me, not mine, not myself, yeah? I can perceive these things, yeah? I can perceive the five khandhas, yeah? When they arise and cease. And with the body, it's a little bit more difficult, you know, but I see it got growing old, yeah? Growing weaker by the day, yeah? So we see the anicca of the body, yeah? And look at your memories, you know? Who were you, you know, 10 years ago? You know, what did you think? What did you, what kind of memories did you have, yeah? What kind of goals in your life did you have? 10 years ago. Is it the same as now? Then ask yourself the question, who am I? Interesting question. Because the things are constantly changing. Yeah? It can be a beauty that things are changing because we are not always in a slump. Yeah? The bad feeling goes away sooner or later. Yeah? The depression also goes away sooner or later, yeah? Yeah? See? How can I say it's me? Huh? How can I say I am? Yeah? What is I am? Yeah? The only thing, you know, that we could call, yeah, I is this knowingness that knows the things that arise. Yeah? Just like you know the clouds, or you know the house, or you know your neighbors, or you know the car, or you know these things. Yeah? This knowingness, yeah? That doesn't change. That's always there. Yeah? It has no personality, yeah? But, you know, yeah? You pick up the personality by associating with this memory, with these kind of thoughts, you know, with this kind of profession, yeah? With this kind of body, yeah? That's how you, you know, you form your personal view. Yeah? I'm like this, I'm like that, yeah? I'm not like this, yeah? If other people say you're like this, you know, we don't want to hear it, yeah? I'm the way I am, yeah? And if I accept it, you know, the way I am, you know, then I can change the things that are unwholesome, yeah? And change it to things that are wholesome. And for that, you know, we need sati. Welcome to the, yeah? You understand that? Anicca, anatta, dukkha, yeah? Get it in, yeah? Get it into your heart, yeah? See the things, or, you know, just tell yourself sometimes, there is a feeling, yeah? There is a memory, yeah? And then you can observe it, yeah? And for the women, don't ever now tell somebody else, you hurt my feelings. I cannot hurt your feelings. Feeling is a phenomenon that arises and ceases and has nothing to do with you. Huh? Constantly. You hurt my feelings, yeah? No, I hurt your view of yourself that was not correct in the first place. Because we have, every one of us has a view of how am I, yeah? But this how am I has changed, you know, in the last 5, 10 or 15, 20, 30, 40 years, yeah? No? Yeah? So how can I hurt something that is not constant, yeah? But I, you know, I mean, it's normal, yeah? So, never ever say that again, huh? I hurt, you hurt my feelings, huh? Because it's not true. Huh? You delude yourself, yeah? Look what, you know, look what the people say, you know, what is not correct, you know, and then if you think it's not correct, then change it. Huh? Instead of going into a slump, oh, I'm so bad, huh? No. We are neither bad nor good, you know, but we have the qualities of being bad and being good, you know, when we are born. We have the qualities of being, you know, when we come to this life, we are evil, we have some evil, and we have some goodness, yeah? Some people have more evil, some people have more goodness, yeah? So that's why every person differs, yeah? So we, when we do meditation, you know, I mean, we try to get rid of the evil, you know, and to turn it into some goodness, yeah? And once we are only good, yeah, hardly happens, yeah? But once we are only good, we get rid of the goodness as well. And then we are free of all these things, yeah? It's also called Nibbana, yeah? But first of all, we have to turn the ugly kalesas into some nice kalesas. Yeah, yeah, I'm grateful. Yes, I'm generous. Yes, yeah. I'm respectful. Yeah, I keep the 5 precepts. Yeah, that is always leading to wholesomeness. Yeah, and for the meditators, you know, there are prerequisites. Yeah. That we need to develop, yeah? I just talked about it, generosity, yeah? I mean, if we can't let go of material things, how can we let go of the view of self that is so much closer, huh? Huh? How can we, you know, how can we progress on our path if we are not generous, yeah? How can we progress on our path if we are not respectful towards the Dhamma? Huh? And how can you progress on the path of practice if you are not grateful for the things that are given to us? Grateful for the teachers we have, not only spiritual teachers, the teachers that taught us in school, the parents who fed us for 20 years, housed us, clothed us, gave us the money, so that we can go to university or school, or do this or that, How can we not be grateful to the person who rents us his apartment, so that we have a house to live or apartment to live? Or the boss, who gives us work so that we can earn some money to earn a livelihood. How can we not be grateful? If you are not grateful, if you are not generous, if you don't keep the five precepts that I explained this morning, how can we progress on this path? It's impossible. People get stuck, sooner or later, And if you feel you're stuck, then it's probably one of these causes, Or you don't do enough meditation, Generosity, respect, gratitude, Why are they so important? If you want to enter Sotapanna, you have to have them, Because the five precepts, generosity, respect, gratitude, is also the path to heaven. You understand that? Only that, Not only generosity doesn't lead us to heaven, We have to keep the five precepts, and we have to be respectful, and we have to be grateful. Otherwise the devas will not allow us to come into their realms, I know. People say, come here, make some big donation and you go to heaven. It's not true. Doesn't work this way, read the suttas, and learn, what the Lord Buddha teaches, Yes, people can go to heaven if they have enough gratitude, respect, and generosity, and, keep the five precepts. You can only come back as a human being if you keep the five precepts. How can you go to heaven if you don't keep the five precepts, How can a bad person who is enormously generous go to heaven? You cannot. He has to keep the five precepts in order to come back as a human being. It's a law. And nobody can defy the law. Sorry to say that, but that is the truth. Why should I lie to you? What is my gain if I lie to you, if I tell you something that is not true? I don't have any gain. I want to tell you, what is important for us, if we want to get out of the hamster wheel. Remember that? Running, not going anywhere. Not finding the door. The Lord Buddha came down to show us the door, to get out of the hamster wheel. Get into Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami and Arahantship. And that is, a Sotapanna, Where is he born? He's born as a human being. Or he goes up to heaven. That means he has to have these qualities, otherwise he cannot be a Sotapanna. Nobody told us. people, I do meditation, four months meditation, and then I reach Sotapanna. If you don't have the prerequisites, you will never be able to do that. So we understand anicca, anatta, dukkha. We understand the five khandhas. This is the toolbox that we have, or that the kilesas have. And most of the time, the kilesas have. When you close your eyes, don't you hear them coming? Talking to you. I want this, I'm not satisfied with this, I want that, let's do this, let's go there, let's have some more money, let's have a new car, or, a new handbag, new shoes, new clothes. Who is that voice who constantly tells us? Ever ask, what do you want? Yeah? If you want it so dearly, you know, get it yourself, yeah? But I'm not going. I'm not going shopping mall, you know. You can go, yeah? You have to defy the killers. Defy the killers, yeah? Difficult, yeah? But that is our work, yeah? I mean, how can we get free, you know, if we follow the Kilesa, yeah? And what kind, you know, yeah? The Kilesas are grouped in three armies, yeah? They are good soldiers. In the beginning, they are just very mercenaries, you know? Whenever, you know, you get strong with them, they disappear, yeah? And then come the good soldiers, you know, who don't disappear so easily, you know, who give you a lot of dukkha, yeah? And then come the elite soldiers, yeah? And the armies are greed, hatred, and delusion, yeah? They are formed in three kind of armies, yeah? Greed is, you know, what is greed, yeah? I like this, I want this, yeah? I cannot let go of this, yeah? That is all greed, you know, from the slightest notion, you know, maybe it would be nice to have this. Yeah, that's already a form of greed, yeah? And it's the same for hate, yeah? I don't like this, you know, it would be nice to get rid of it, yeah? It's a form of hate, yeah? Until the hate, you know, that kills people, yeah? Or destroys people, or destroys, you know, property, yeah? That's all a form of hate, yeah? And the Kilesas are formed in these two armies, in these three armies, yeah? And greed and hatred are on the forefront, yeah? And delusion, you know, pushes them always into action, yeah? We are deluded about this, we are deluded about the job, we are deluded about this world, you know, so the push, I want this, you know, I want another job, I want another wife, I want another husband, yeah? I'm not satisfied with him anymore, yeah? This is, that's how they work, yeah? Delusion pushes them, yeah? And how do we get rid of greed and hatred? Through meditation and investigation. Yeah. The path to deliverance is Sila Samadhi Panya. Yeah. About Sila, about the five precepts, I talked already about it. Yeah. Even at the meal I talked about it to correct their wrong views. Yeah. Yeah. It's not killing, it's harming people. Yeah. It's not only stealing, it's taking what is not given. And we should be correct, you know, in our understanding. Otherwise, you know, we go down the drain. Nobody wants to go down the drain, no? Let me have something. Come here. So, we practice Sila, let's hope. We practice the five precepts. We train ourselves in generosity, respect, and gratitude, yeah? And then we go into samadhi. Yeah? And, you know, I mean, you know how hard it is because the kilesas constantly come with this sort of memory, you know, want to think about this, want to think about that. Where is this memory coming from? Where is that memory coming from? We have to get rid of. Yeah? I mean, sometimes I was in the beginning, you know, everybody goes through the same problem. Yeah? And then I sat down, not interested, not interested, not interested. Whatever you tell me, I'm not interested, yeah? Yeah? Until, you know, the slow down, slow down, slow down. And then came the more obnoxious one, you know. You really have to think about this, you know. It is so important, you know. I mean, you will die if you don't think about it, yeah? And then, I'm not interested. Yeah. Until the mind becomes completely clear. Clear of thoughts and clear of memories, yeah? Until we enter Upachara Samadhi, yeah? And Upachara Samadhi is our safe haven, yeah? Where we feel safe. It's the first time in our life where we feel completely content. We don't want anything. We enter Samadhi and then we feel we don't actually need anything. Please stop this drinking. I mean, do we live in a desert?
I mean, are you all dehydrated? You know, always, you know, I mean, it's the same in Malaysia, you know. I mean, there's so much humidity here, yeah. I mean, how can you get dehydrated? That you have to drink, you know, it's actually disrespectful towards the Dhamma, yeah? Understand that. I sometimes need to drink because my throat is dry, yeah, from all this talking, you know, all this, yeah, talking the Dhamma, yeah. So, we develop, we keep the five precepts, we develop generosity, respect and gratitude, and then we sit in samadhi until we get calm. It's called Upachara Samadhi. And that is the first time, whoever experiences it, when he enters it, he feels safe. Yeah, I mean, there might be still, you know, things from outside, you know, coming outside, but we are not interested. Yeah, it's like we sit in a glass house, you know, and there's thunder and storm, but we feel safe. Yeah, and we don't pay any attention to it because, I mean, we feel safe. Yeah, we feel contented. And that's the first time we realize we don't need anything. There's nothing we need. Yeah. The moment we come out of samadhi, we suddenly need this or we need that. We're not satisfied with this or we're not satisfied with that. Yeah. The interesting thing about upachara samadhi is the kilesas have no entrance to that. They don't bother us. And because they don't bother us, that's why we feel free. Why we feel liberated for that moment, for that time. And that is the resting place. And remember, you know, when you come out of samadhi, you feel concentrated and you feel energetic. Yeah? If you feel good, yeah, and, you know, you feel tired after, you know, after samadhi, that means you haven't entered it. Yeah? You open the door and said, ah, so nice, you know, and then you close the door in front of you instead of going in. Yeah? And that is what happens to most of the people, yeah? Or what they do is, you know, when the mind gets calm, yeah, instead of staying with their Buddha or with their breath, they stay with the calm. Huh? It's a byproduct of our meditation. It's not the purpose of our meditation. Huh? It's like, you know, I call it, it's like digging a hole, yeah? I mean, the digging is the part that we do when we do meditation, yeah? And the hole is the result of it. If you stop digging, the hole fills up. It's the same thing, you know? If you stop concentrating on the Buddha or on the breath, you know, I mean, the feeling of calm or happiness or whatever arises, you know, stops. Yeah? And then comes the thought, oh, that was so nice. And then we are capillary, ejected from our samadhi, yeah? And then we have to try again, yeah? And then we, okay, now. The moment, okay, now, it's gone again. Yeah? So we have to be very careful, yeah? Very careful to stick, you know, to stick the breath and stick the Buddha. And even when we are in upachara samadhi, we still have to stick to it, yeah? Otherwise, you know, otherwise we get out thrown out very easily, yeah? Especially in the beginning, yeah? Later on, if you can sit, you know, for 2 or 3 hours in upachara samadhi, then we don't get thrown out so easily. Yeah? But later, you know, sooner or later, you know, the kilesas constantly knocking at the door. Hello, hello, you know, can you come out? Can you come out? Yeah? Huh? And then sooner or later we come out. Yeah? But we have to keep on the Buddha. We have to keep on the breath, yeah? Until, yeah? I mean, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and the world disappears, yeah? Even our body, most of the part of the body disappears from our attention, from our awareness, yeah? And then there's only this area around, you know, where the citta is, you know, that is still, you know, dominant, yeah? And then sooner or later, you know, the breath stops, yeah? It doesn't disappear, please. My breath has disappeared, what should I do? Yeah? Go back to the breath, yeah? That's what you should do. Yeah? When the breath stops, it really stops. Yeah? Most people get afraid because they think they die. No, you don't die. When the breath stops, you know, you jump into the knowingness but knows that the breath has stopped. And then you enter Upanasamadhi, the deep state of Samadhi, or the preview of Nibbana, whatever you want to call. It's one-pointedness. It's called one-pointedness. When subject and object merges into one point, what can you say about it? Nothing. Because our language cannot cover it. Our language is dualistic, and not unified, It's not one-pointed, So, the only thing that remains is this knowingness, the pure knowingness. And this pure knowingness never disappears. It cannot disappear because it's there all the time. We know the knowingness that knows of subject and object, but that is not the pure knowing. The pure knowingness is there. All what is happening when you enter Apanasamadhi is you go in one moment, in the next moment you get out. But time and space has completely evaporated. So, I mean, you go in, and maybe 3 or 4 hours you come out. But the only thing you know, you went in, and the next moment you went out. Because you cannot say anything. That's why it's called the preview of Nibbana. And I can guarantee you, when you come out, the first thought after you came out, first thought, I want to go back. Because it's of utmost, First of all, it's very energetic, But it's of utmost satisfaction. Most people cannot do it because it takes a lot of effort. Some people can, But most of the, for most of us, upacara is enough, Get deeper in, Try to stay for an hour, in upacara samadhi, And then once, Then we do the work, The work of investigation, You remember? Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Now we have to investigate, We have to investigate what? The body, Because greed and hatred are born or rooted in this body. Only in this body. Whatever you want is within the limits of this body, Within the realm of this body. Whatever you dislike is within the realm of this body. That's where greed and hatred, are rooted. Once we investigate completely the body, there's no more greed and hate. That is the fourth and the fifth fetter. This morning I talked about the first three fetters, didn't I? The first fetter is the fetter of doubt. Doubt that there's heaven or hell, beings in heaven and hell. Doubt that there's karma, good karma, bad karma, and results of good karma and bad karma. The second fetter is, I call it the second fetter is, silabhata paramasa. I normally use it because it is easier. Keeping the precepts, not keeping the precepts. That's the second fetter. And the third fetter is, seeing the body is not self. Taking the body out, that's what we do. After getting, getting enough rest, in upacara samadhi, We still close our eyes and then we cut our body up, Cut the hand off, put it in front of us, cut all the things out and put it in front of us, until everything is there. Who sits there and sees all the body parts? You can use the 32 parts of the body or you can just use it like this, Cut it up, And what part of the body is the body? The brain, the body, the heart, the body, the lungs, the body. It's just a part. It's just like you put, you take your automobile and put it in bits and pieces. Where's the automobile? There are nuts and bolts, The Lord Buddha used this, When you disassemble the car into its bits and pieces, where's the car? Interesting, There's no car. There are nuts, bolts, planks, Where's the car? Where's the body? We have to assemble it, to become a body again. And who sits there? It's a knowingness. It's a sati. As a reminder, Satipatthana Sutta? It's not sati. Awareness. It's an awareness, people here translate it as mindfulness. The mind is full, isn't it? It's concentrated on one thing. It's full on one thing. That's called mindfulness. Yeah? Sati is mind emptiness. The mind is completely empty of any kind of occupation. That is sati. And that's what is explained in Satipatthana Sutta. Yeah? The foundations for mind, for sati. Yeah? Not mindfulness. Yeah? We get confused. Yeah? Oh, I'm so mindful. Yeah? I'm so mindful. I'm walking mindfully. No, you're thinking you are mindful. Yeah? You're not aware of what is going on because you think you're mindful. Yeah? The mind, you know, the mind might be, you know, with just this walking, but you constantly think, I'm so mindful of walking, I'm so mindful of walking, I'm so mindful of, you know, doing this or doing that. Yeah? No. Mind emptiness. The mind is empty of any occupation, and if it is empty of any occupation, it is aware. And that is what sati is. Yeah? The awareness. Yeah? The awareness of what is going, what is coming into the heart, and what is going on in the heart. Yeah? Only with this sati, you know, we can do investigation. Yeah? So we concentrate on the body, dissect the body, you know, cut it up into bits and pieces. Yeah? I mean, we can have a lot of fun with this, yeah? We can cut it up, you know, and see all these parts and bits and pieces, you know, we try to assemble it, but this time we assemble it in a different way, yeah? Yeah? For most of the people, you know, their brain is between their legs, you know, so we put the brain between their legs, you know. And put the ass, you know, where their mouth is, you know. Yeah, is that a body? Yeah. Or we put the legs, you know, at the shoulders, you know, and put the arms, you know, at the hips, you know. Is this a body? What is a body? Yeah. There's a definition we have for a body, you know. Yeah? Well, the legs at the hips, you know, the arms at the shoulder, you know, and the brain in the, you know, in in the head, you know. Yeah? So we do this, you know, yeah. And when all the parts of the body are out there, and only the knowingness, only the awareness is sitting there, then there is a disconnect. Yeah? In the beginning, the disconnect is not strong enough. Yeah? But you know, if you do it 1,000 or 10,000 or a million times, you know, there will be one moment where it's a complete disconnect. Yeah? And then we know. Yeah? Not think. Of course, it is very easy to think I'm not the body. Yeah? But you're troubled with the body all the time. You have to feed the body, huh? You have to house the body, you have to clothe the body, you have to get medicine for the body, yeah? So you think you are the body, yeah? I mean, the thinking doesn't work, you know, for investigation. Yeah? It only works to see, yeah? Let the citta see, you know? The body is the body, and here's the citta, yeah? And let it disconnect from it, yeah? If you have an easier way, there's an easier way, you know, just, you know, get out with your citta, you know, roam around, you know, and go back and see, oh, that looks like me, huh? Wow, interesting, yeah? That's also disconnect, yeah? Then you know, I mean, the citta is the citta and the body is the body. And that is all what we need, yeah? That is cutting the third fetter, yeah? And then we can end the sotapanna. But still, our investigation of the body is not finished. Yeah? That was, at the moment, we still had fun, yeah? Now we have to open up the body, yeah? Yeah? Take away the skin, you know, open it up, take a knife, you know, and cut it, you know, slice it open, you know, and see all these nice things, yeah? Open up the stomach, you know, and see all this delicious food that you had this morning, yeah? We don't want to see that. What is happening when we see that? Disgust comes up. And what is disgust? Is anger. Yeah? It's a form of anger. Yeah? That's how we can learn how to deal with anger. Yeah? We look at the body, we look at the disgust, you know, and we want to understand, you know, where this anger is coming from. Yeah? It's coming from seeing what we don't want to see. Most of the people, you know, I mean, anger comes up when they hear something they don't want to hear. Yeah? It's also coming up, anger. Yeah? Yeah? We hear something we don't want to hear. Yeah? We see something we don't want to see. And just observe yourself a little bit, you know. Yeah. When you walk, you know, when you walk along, you know, and you see something you don't want to see, what do? Look the other way. Huh? It is so automatic. Yeah? And that's why we have to use this meditation, this asupa practice. It's called asupa practice, yeah? And if anybody says, you know, the Lord Buddha didn't teach it, he taught it, yeah? In one of the suttas, you know, he taught the asupa practice, yeah? And it's the only way to get rid of greed and hate, yeah? The most common way, yeah? If we would have been born at the times of the Lord Buddha, there would have been another way, yeah? But, you know, for us commoner and, yeah, not so enlightened people, you know, I mean, this is the way to go, yeah? Doing the practice of low samatha. Yeah? Yes, for others, you know, I mean, yeah, some people can go with anicca, yeah, impermanent, yeah. But these must be artists, you know, and things like that who put a lot of pride in their artwork, yeah. But most of us, you know, I mean, we'll stick, you know, we still stick with the common things, yeah. Huh? Low samness of the body, yeah. Ever try to put the spittle in your hand? Spittle, yeah? And then try to lick it up again? No? Why? It's disgusting. Yeah? What else? The sweat that comes out. It's disgusting. Why do you know, when you hang your shirt up in the air, you know, I mean, it doesn't smell bad. Yeah? You keep it on your body for one day and it smells bad. Yeah? What is happening to your hair if you don't wash it? Where is the dirt coming from? Not from outside. From inside. Yeah? So when you open up, you know, all these things, you know, you see them very clearly. Yeah? And that is what is called a super practice. And if you do it correctly, in the beginning, you know, I mean, you can use images, you know, from medical and anatomic atlases, you know, I mean, to see, you know, but, you know, then later on, you have to get really inside, yeah? You don't have to use yourself. You can, you know, you can cut up your partner, yeah, and see, yeah. It's the same thing, you know, to see somebody else is cut up, yeah. I mean, what happened to doctors, you know, who the first time opened up a corpse? Well, all they fall unconscious. The first time. I'm not talking about the second time. Second time, then normally then they get used and used and used, yeah? But ask, you know, ask a surgeon, you know, if he wants to cut up his wife. He will never lay a hand on his wife. This memory is so imprinted, yeah? So they normally ask their friend, you know, to cut up his wife, yeah? Because, you know, what we see is disgusting. We don't like to see it, yeah? That's why we hide it, yeah? Why do you have these clothes on? You know, you want to hide it, yeah? Huh? Even, you know, even nakedness, you know, sometimes can be really disgusting, you know? Already a disgusting look. But then take the skin off and it's even more disgusting, yeah? Tomorrow morning when you try to shave, you know, when you try to wash, you know, take a nice scalpel, you know, and then pull your skin off. Huh? You like to see that, what is underneath? No. You feel disgusted, yeah? And with this disgust, the anger comes up. Yeah? So we have to learn how to deal with anger. So we say, there is anger. And how does the anger feel? And we feel, yeah? And when the moment we concentrate on the anger, you know, the anger probably most of the time goes away. So we have to go back, you know, into looking at these images, you know, until the disgust comes again, yeah? And then, you know, what we can do, or later, we have to deal with greed as well, yeah? Or deal with lust, you know, I mean, yeah? We change it, yeah? From the anger, you know, we go into lust, yeah? I mean, we put the skin back on, oh, beautiful, lust comes up, yeah? And then, we turn it back into, you know, into something loathsome, yeah? And then anger comes up. How does that work? That is exactly the way how to overcome greed and hatred, yeah? To use this method, yeah? To bring up, you know, anger, yeah? And then to bring up, yeah? Later on, bring up lust, you know, and replace it with anger. And replace the anger with lust or with greed, yeah? to see there's nothing behind it. It's just our imagination. It's just our labeling, yeah, that we have done for trillions of life, you know, that keeps us trapped into these things, yeah, of likes and dislikes, yeah. That is the way of meditation. That is the way of investigation. But before we can deal with these kind of feeling, I mean, we first better learn, you know, how to deal with the pain when we sit for long enough, yeah. What is pain? I get up and there's no pain. Ah, that's good. Yeah? That's a remedy. No. You still don't know what pain is. How does pain feel? Feel. How? Yeah? And once you feel it, you know, say, there is pain. Now let's investigate. Where is this pain? Yeah? Where is it actually located? Yeah? Is it in the skin? Is it in the bones? Is it in the tendon? And don't listen to any explanation that comes from the Kilesas. Oh, yeah, I mean, because I sit so crooked, you know. Then tell them, you know, if I sit with my friends and eat, you know, for 2 or 3 hours, I don't feel pain. Huh? Do you feel pain when you sit with your friends? No, only when you sit in meditation. Huh? So where's the pain coming from? So we investigate pain. And with any kind of feeling, we have to investigate. We have to accept the feeling. And that is the most difficult part of it. To accept the feeling and then say there is a feeling. Yeah? And let's investigate. Yeah? Accepting the feeling, feeling how it feels. Because in the end we want to compare these different feelings. We want to compare what is the difference between pain or anger or lust or greed or this or that, yeah, or fear. Yeah? Where's the difference? Yeah? It's all made up. Yeah? Why did the Lord Buddha talk about we are in a delusion? Yeah? Because it's made up. We made it up ourselves. Huh? We like this, you know, we dislike this, you know, and that's how we made it up, yeah? And not everybody, you know, is fooled by the same things, yeah? Other people like things that we dislike, yeah? Huh? And we dislike things that other people like, yeah? So we made it up, yeah? And we are set by our own rules that we have to overcome through investigation, through meditation, yeah? Understood? Huh? It is very important, yeah? I mean, you get a lot, you know, I mean, you relieve yourself of a lot of dukkha, yeah? If you do this kind of investigation, yeah? The first thing, you know, do the principle, feel it, yeah? And then use the principle of anatta. Whatever I can perceive cannot be me. Then who is the perceiver? Is it, you know, is it God who perceives this, you know, or whatever, yeah? Who knows that there is, yeah? Who knows that there is a feeling, yeah? If you don't believe me, ask it. Do you know your feeling? Do you know your good feeling? Do you know your bad feeling? And wait for the answer. There's no answer coming. Huh? Get it? Yeah, I know it's not easy. It's not easy, yeah? That is the way, you know. That is the way of investigation, yeah? I was fooled, yeah? Just like you were fooled, yeah? I mean, I came from the West and, you know, I was taught in the West, yeah? Nobody ever taught about a super practice. Yeah? They told me, the monks there, you know, told me, why should we make this body loathsome? It's so beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, so nobody taught it, yeah? Until I was dissatisfied with their answers, you know, how to overcome greed and hate, yeah? I said, you have to let go. I said, I cannot let go of it. It's still there, it's always there. It might be, you know, diminished, but it's still there, yeah? And then I came across, you know, a book called by Lungta Mahabor, Straight from the Heart, yeah? And then I read it, and I said, wow, I need to see this Ajahn. And then, you know, when I came to see Lungta Mahabor, you know, I mean, he said, I mean, some people, you know, teach the way of letting go, yeah? Tell the ant, that is, you know, the ant, you know, that is on the roof, to let go, and then it falls to the floor, yeah? But the ant doesn't know the command let go. Only it knows forward, 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 forward. Yeah? So it goes along the roof, you know, goes along the side down until it, you know, hits the floor. Yeah? Ah, yes, that's right. Yeah? So we only can go one way, you know. And then he talked only, most of the time, only about a super practice. How to do a super practice. Yeah? How to see the loathsomeness of the body. Yeah? Before that, I didn't know it. Just like most of you don't know it. You might have heard of it, you know. But that is the way how to overcome greed and hatred. Yeah? The next part is extremely difficult. Delusion. Yeah? Greed and hatred are rooted within the body, within the realm of the body, including, of course, the senses of the body. Yeah? We like to see, we like to hear, you know, we like to touch and so on. That is all, you know, within the realm of the body. Yeah? But delusion, where is it located? You listen often enough. So where is it located? Huh? Well, what other khandhas do we have? Memory and thought. That's where delusion is located. Yeah? And to rip that apart, to see memory as memory and thought as thought, but they normally come in together. You know, they're intertwinkled, intertwined, you know. It's so difficult. Yeah? I just tell you the story, you know. I mean, Lungta Mahabo, you know, I mean, when he came to see Lungpu Man, yeah? He trained samadhi, samadhi, samadhi. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you know. He went to Apana Samadhi, he went to Upachara Samadhi, yeah. Every day, every day, every day. And then after 5 years, Lungpu Man said, okay, you slept enough, now you go to work, yeah. Do body investigation. And then he did body investigation, and because of his extreme, you know, extreme sati and extreme power and concentration, I mean, he could finish the task of body investigation within 8 months, yeah? And then came the difficult part. He said, I mean, the delusion part, you know, I mean, that took him 2.5 years. I mean, what is delusion, you know? Just one moment. Oh, yeah, yeah? Oh, yeah, you have to go straight this way, you know, you see there towards the end, you know? Huh? Towards the end. You see that you're fooled. Ah, that wasn't right. Then you go to the next part. That's the right part. And then you go to the end, you see your food. And that happens every moment of your time. You need to try, you know, you try to rip it apart, but you're constantly food. Yeah? It's very difficult. Yeah? So stick with the first part. I mean, even that will be very difficult. Huh? Huh, fun, yeah? Okay. I think I explained enough, yeah? I mean, what you need to know is, you know, all what you need to know, if you want to practice the path, yeah, that leads to Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahantship, you know, is, yeah, Anicca, Anatta, Dukkha, the 5 khandhas, yeah, Chitta, and calming the Chitta, Sila, Samadhi, Panya, generosity, respect, and gratitude, yeah? And knowing, you know, knowing how to do investigation. Investigation is asking the questions. The pain, where is it located? Yeah? In the flesh, yeah? In the bones, in the tendons, in the sinews, yeah? Where is it? It's not there. You have bones and flesh and sinews since you are born. Yeah? And when you get up, the pain is gone. How can it be there? Huh? We feel it. Oh, it's so strong. Yeah. Going through pain, you know, I mean, going through pain and understanding what is pain, I mean, it's really quite a difficult task. Yeah? Lungta Mahabo described, you know, going through death 3 times. Huh? The first you feel oppressed, you don't get any air, you die because, you know, you die because of, what is it there? What is it called? Yeah. Because you don't get any oxygen. The next, you know, and then, you know, then it disappears, you know, and then you'll be back in Samadhi for a while, and then the next pain comes. Huh? It's a pain of fire. The whole body is on fire. Huh? You pass that, you know, and then this is gone as well. Yeah? And then the third one is where the whole body is ripped apart. And that is actually what is happening in our death, yeah? When you watch your death, yeah, or when you watch your previous death, what is the first thing that goes out? The air. Huh? The air element. Huh? The next thing that goes out is the water, the fire element. Yeah? And then the next thing is the water element. And left is the earth element. Yeah? So you go through these stages of pain, and then pain doesn't even bother you anymore. Okay? Understood? With this I end the talk, yeah? If you have questions, you know, now you can ask them.
Questions? I'll pass the mic over.
Good. So you come to ordain? Huh? Anybody who is not married, you know, I mean, can ordain as a monk or I can ordain as a Meiji, yeah? Don't waste your life. Yeah? It's precious. Yeah? You don't know what is going to happen in the next life. Yeah? Huh? What situation are you born? What family? In what country? You know? Huh? Maybe you're born in Palestine, you know? Huh? Hmm? Okay, so what is the question?
Tanajan, my gratitude to you for coming back to Singapore again to teach. I just want to reconfirm my understanding at the beginning of your talk. I think citta is normally translated as heart or mind.
That's true.
Yeah. So I think you said that, or you explained that citta is not consciousness. That is because citta is actually feelings, memory, thoughts, and consciousness.
No. Citta is the owner of the five khandhas. You know, you're the owner of a car. Are you the car? You understand that? The owner. I mean, you can talk about, you can say or define, you know, the five khandhas as a toolbox. I mean, I think I saw it, yeah? It's a toolbox. The five khandhas is a toolbox, yeah? And whoever sits on the throne, yeah, can decide what to do with the toolbox. Yeah? And Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankhana, and Vinyan are the toolbox. Yeah? So either the Kilesas or Avicca can use it, yeah? Or the Dhamma can use it. When the Dhamma uses it, you want to sit down and calm the mind. And then the Kilesas come and disturb you. So you have to chuck the Kilesas out. The citta is a citta. Yeah? But there are two kinds of citta. There's a pure citta and there's a defiled citta. Yeah? What we normally have. Yeah? As long as there are kilesas or avicca in the citta, it's called the defiled citta. It's not the pure citta. Yeah? The pure citta is the citta of the arahant. It still has a citta because it's something that never disappears, never vanishes. That's why, we can easily, you know, in meditation, we can say whatever can disappear, let it disappear. Yeah? Because there's something that is always there. And that is the citta, and the pure citta. Yeah? Okay? Understood?
Thank yeah. Thank you, Tanaja.
Something must be in the air. I mean, my eyes are... Yeah, probably the air conditioning. Okay, next question. Yeah?
Achan, thank you very much for the opportunity and to learn from you. Unfortunately, I had to repeat kindergarten many times, many years. My experience with this awareness of consciousness took many, many years, and I'm still discovering.
No, it's not discouraging. Think about a Buddha. Think about before you become a Buddha. I mean, it takes about 180 eons of lifetimes to train to become a Buddha. 180 years. Yeah, when Lumpu Man saw, he was not yet confirmed to be a Buddha. He was on the Buddhahood, but he saw he still has 90 years to train, and he said, "It's too much. Let's stop now." Yeah. And a lot of these, who see the Buddha, who experience the Buddha, want to become a Buddha, and then they go on the path of Buddhahood, But it takes so extremely long. Even for an arahant, it takes at least 60 eons. So don't worry, you will be a few eons in the kindergarten, and then in primary school, and then secondary school. Patient, But at least learn, let it sink into the heart. Because then the heart, at a certain time, it will remember it,
Right.
And then we'll guide you on the right path.
Right. Has that anything got to do with my karma?
I mean, karma, you constantly create karma. Huh? I mean, this is just an excuse. It has something to do with your karma. Yeah? Like people in Thailand, they always tell me, I don't have enough merit, to become a nun or to become, a monk, No. It's not true. If you want to, if you decide to, you can. Yeah? It doesn't mean that in 4 years or 1 year you will decide otherwise. We constantly decide different things differently. We try out this job, or we try out this, this partnership or that partnership. We constantly try. I mean, nothing is set in stone. So we try out to become a monk. Oh, it's so difficult. Okay, then disrobe. Next life we try it again, maybe we're a little bit longer, and then next life we try again and again and again and again until, we stick, And even if we stick, we still have to go through lifetimes after lifetimes, becoming a monk or becoming a recluse or becoming a nun,
Mm-hmm.
It's not one life, But some people, have already, just like at the times of the Lord Buddha. You remember some of the, what is it? Moggallana and Sariputta. They just needed to hear a sentence from the Buddha, and they became Sotapanna. So they were prepared. But how many eons of lifetimes have they prepared? So don't get discouraged. Just go on the path, Think about, the path to deliverance is the path from here to Beijing on foot. Sometimes you have to walk through the jungle with lions and tigers, Sometimes you're in a meadow, sometimes you're in a thick forest, sometimes you have to go up the mountains, But if you go in the right direction, sooner or later you will end up there. That is the important thing.
Right. You mentioned about we develop our merits by sitting. And at the end of every session, I dedicate and share the merits. Is there any merit at all without even reaching?
Every time you put effort, in bringing your mind back to the Buddha or to the breath, it is merit.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
It's like every time we try to do something good, Think about, I mean, there are three, with just one deed, there are three kinds of happiness. The first time we think about doing something good, we feel happy. Then we do things good, we feel also happy. And then we get things back, then we feel also happy. But the same thing holds true for bad things. We want to hurt somebody, just the thought, makes us really angry, Then we did something, and we feel even more angry, And then, we get it back, somebody else does it to us, and then we get even more angry, See? Three times, remember this, Okay, next question.
Ajahn, I have a question.
Yeah.
So in the morning you talked about how calm brings you closer to the truth, like you try to get more calm and then you'll be closer to the truth. But then also there's the problem of, like you mentioned just now, where you go to the calm instead of staying with your meditation object. So how actually do we try to cultivate this calm without, becoming too lazy? And what can we ask to check ourselves along the way?
I thought I said it. I mean, think about meditation digging a hole. The meditation, you know, always bringing the mind back to the same thing, you know, is digging the hole. And the longer you dig, you know, at the same place, you know, I mean, the deeper the hole gets, and the deeper the calm gets. The calm is a byproduct of our meditation. So the more you stay on the Buddha, the calmer becomes more intense. Yeah? Some other feelings, I mean, sometimes it can become increasingly intense, you know, that you hardly can bear. If it is pity, you know, I mean, your tears run, you know, you nearly run dry. Huh? But you still stick to the Buddha, or you still stick to the breath. And then, you know, it slows down and then changes into something else. Huh?
Thank you, Ajahn.
Yeah. I just want people, you know, not to go on to the calm. Because that's where the meditation stops. Right? Understood? Good. Anybody else?
Hi, Ajahn. My question is for you is, just now you were mentioning going through the process of calmness, mm-hmm. samadhi, and then from samadhi, you do the investigation. You break up your body, the 32 yeah. parts, and then you. What happens during the attainment process? I mean, does something changes? You know, what really happens when you know that? Oh, you have this. You done.
I mean, right if thing. I tell you what is going to happen, then you look for it, and it is only happening in your mind. Huh? Things will change. The moment you look at something, you know. I mean. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people, you know, when they really look, yeah, for instance, when he looks at his computer games, you know, and when he really looks, you know, and then sees it as just zeros and ones, you know, he will not be interested anymore. He won't play any more games. But as long as he sees, you know, sees all these bits and pieces, you know, wandering across the screen, I mean, he will be enticed by it. And that's the same thing with what happens, you know. The more we do this investigation of the body, the less our greed, yeah, and the less our hatred becomes, yeah. And that's the whole idea, yeah. You remember that Sakadagami is the once returner? I mean, he only has done half of the body investigation, yeah. So don't think about what is going to happen because that's what we look for and then we fool ourselves that we've seen it. Huh? Understood? Okay. Now, if there are no more questions, then go back to your food.
Huh? Ajahn, thank you. This morning, as you can see, there's a number of people that sit and fall asleep.
Yeah.
And especially with age and, you know, can you help us to,
yes.
you know, how we can help ourselves to avoid
yes.
going to slumber? Sometimes it's like a switch, you know, you just knock off it without knowing.
Yeah. I mean, I think I told, you know, there are two powers that are ruling in our citta. One is avijja and one is the dhamma. Yeah? So you have to be very careful here. And there's a CEO who gives us okay. But the CEO, yeah, who gives his okay, who writes a statement, yes, I'm doing this, yeah, he's mostly asleep. And he, while he's asleep, you know, he gives okay, 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 okay. So, when we get drowsy, yeah, there's a first thought that comes into the mind, yeah, okay, it's boring, or whatever, you know, or it is calm, yeah, now I go to sleep, yeah. And then nothing happens. 2 minutes later, another thought comes. You haven't okayed it because you didn't see, yeah? Another thought comes 2 minutes later and says, I'm really getting tired, you know? But you didn't see it. You weren't aware of it, yeah? And the third, you know, and then after 1 minute, another thought comes, you know? They try to poke you, you know, into, you know, giving you okay, yeah? You haven't given you okay yet, but you weren't aware of their demands yet, yeah? And, you know, the last time, you know, before you go into drowsiness, you gave your okay. So, what you do is, you have sati to see the first thought and say, no, I don't want to. But you have to have, yeah, you have to be aware of these thoughts, yeah. They tell you, oh, it's boring, oh, it's, you know, it's so calm, you know. And normally when we are calm, you know, we fall asleep. Yeah? But we can catch these thoughts, you know, and once we negate the thought, we say, no, I don't want to go to sleep. Then you're suddenly fully awake. Wow, how did that happen? Yeah? Okay. So, anybody, any more? All the questions answered already? Yeah.
Ajahn, can help us to understand anapana, which help us go into samadhi, and vipassana. It helps to... What's the...
Anapanasati, you know, I mean, is, or samatha meditation is leading to calm, yeah, or content, yeah, is the mind, making the mind completely calm and energetic, yeah, being able to concentrate on one object, yeah. Vipassana is investigation. I don't call it, you know. I mean, what they teach us, vipassana, is a mixture of samadhi and investigation, but it's really not investigation, yeah. What I heard, you know, what they teach, yeah. It's not investigation, like I said, you have to probe into. You have to ask questions for investigation, yeah. And you have to get the answers from the heart, not from the kilesa, yeah. What is pain? Where is the pain? Yeah? What is this body? You know? What are the parts of the body? How does the body look? Yeah? These are the questions how you poke into, yeah? And you want to get the answers, yeah? And you know, if you do it for a while, the chitta will show you, yeah? I mean, I want to see my heart, you know? And after a while the chitta shows you your heart beating, yeah? And then it shows it can you show you, you know, the connection to your lungs, you know? And then the connection to your brain. Yeah? I mean, when the intention comes, you know, from the chitta, you know, it goes over the heart and then goes to the brain and then the thought forms. Amazing, isn't it? But we are not interested in, you know, how our body works. We are only interested in how the world works, yeah? I found it so interesting. And that keeps you on. Then you can meditate for 16, 18 hours, you know, a day, because you're so interested. What is going on? How do these things evolve? Yeah? Okay?
Any more questions?
Okay, then we stop, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah? I haven't talked to... Oh, very important, very important. Did you do it? He wants me to remind him again. What is daily reflection? In the evening, after doing calm meditation, we remember, we try to remember, what kind of thought, what kind of memory did I wake up with? What kind of feelings was there? Yeah? What did I do then? Yeah? What kind of action did I do? What was the result of our doing? Yeah? What did I do then? Yeah? With what kind of thoughts came before what I'm doing? Yeah? So go step through step through step through the whole day. Yeah? If you don't remember, just skip it to the next thing you remember. If you do it daily, you know, after a while you will remember every step. Yeah? But the important thing is don't judge. Don't say it was good or bad. Don't. Let the heart decide. You just want to show the heart what you're doing and what the result of your doing is and how it evolved. The heart needs to understand, because the heart is the only thing that can let go of these things. We cannot let go, even if we want to. But the heart, yeah, it lets go of the body once it sees, you know, the asupa, yeah, the loathsomeness of the body. It doesn't want it anymore. I mean, thinks about the whole life, you know, we are born, you know, we have to train this body for 18 years before we can actually use it, you know, and then we have to feed it, constantly put it to sleep, you know, and going to the repair factory, you know, that's called hospital, yeah, and it's not different from a car. When you go to the hospital, you know, and you have a kidney problem, you know, they take out your kidney and put in a new kidney. Yeah, so what's the difference to your car, you know? You go to, you know, go to the repair shop, you know, they take out the carburetor and put in a new carburetor. Yeah. So, yeah. It's a body, yeah? And the moment it gets this illusion, it lets go. It doesn't want it anymore. So daily reflection, you have to do it daily. That's why it's called daily reflection. Yeah? And don't touch it. If you see yourself, oh, say this is good or this is bad, you know, negate it, said no. It's neither good nor bad, you know, I just, you know, just show your heart. Yeah? And over the time, the heart will understand and it automatically will go, let go of the things that are unwholesome. Yeah? But if you don't show it the heart, you know, if it only shows the mind, yeah, I mean, these are our ways of thinking, this is good or this is bad, yeah. No, we don't know. Yeah? We really don't know because we have not yet understood it. Yeah? I mean, like the old saying, you know, was in German, I think, you know, in German, you know, one man's poison is the other man's medicine. Huh? We cannot go, yeah, by the mainstream. Yeah? We have to investigate for ourselves what is healthy for us, what is wholesome for us, and what is unwholesome. Yeah? If we go by this or that, yeah, of course we have to keep within the five precepts. That's a given. Yeah? But within the five precepts we can experiment, yeah? What is more wholesome, what is not so wholesome, yeah? Yeah? And yeah, every day. And I can promise you, you will forget it after a few days. Because it's undermining the power of the kilesa. Yeah? They don't like. They just want to play like kids. Huh? Kids don't want to know what they are doing. You know, they run after the ball, after, you know, over the street. You know, they don't want to think what can be happening. Yeah? Hmm? Or when we used to have a bike, you know, I mean, 15, 16 years old, down the hill, you know, I mean, we weren't scared of anything. Now, you know, when we're 30, oh, I might break my leg, or this can happen, or, you know, I go over a boulder. You know. So, I mean, the kilesas don't want to know what they are doing. They just want to play. And they constantly, you know, I delude, you know, to play, you know, constantly... coerce you into playing this or playing that. Yeah? And we have to reject that. Yeah? It's like, you know, okay, the last example, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, in the beginning, you know, I was in England in a monastery, you know, as an anagarika, not as a monk, yeah? Didn't want to ordain there. And I was doing walking meditation in the snow. What do you think, you know, the kilesas? Oh, I don't like it, it's cold, you know, I mean, yeah. So I walked up and I walked down, and the kilesas, they're still, you know. Huh? I mean, if you don't like it, you know, shut up, yeah. I do the walking meditation, you can dislike it, yeah, huh? As much as you want, but I do it. Yeah? And after a while, they actually gave up, yeah. And then I was walking peacefully, you know, up and down. You cannot give in to the kilesas, yeah? Yeah? You have to resist them, and actively, yeah? And you actually can tell them, go there, F, yeah? Yeah? Leave me alone, yeah? If you're tired, go to sleep, but let me sit, yeah? Okay? Understood? Daily reflection, yeah? You. Yeah, yeah. So much to do, so much to do. We just want to know. We know, want to understand what we are doing, why we are doing, and what is the result of our doing. That's why we need the daily reflection. Okay? Good night or good evening.